Pastor Ray Bentley with a glimpse of today's study on Maranatha Radio.
This is Moses William Wallace Braveheart speech. Here's what he is saying to these kids, the next generation. You will go into the land. You will defeat your enemies. You will glorify the Lord. You will build a nation, and it will prepare the way for the very Messiah of heaven. You can do this.
Spread the news. All of his people come and bow before the King. Lift your voice. Jesus is coming. Join the song. Sing along. Let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. It's been said, courage isn't the absence of fear, but the mastery of it. Success is walking from failure to failure with no loss of enthusiasm. The successful warrior is the average man with laser-like focus. Today, even better encouragement from the mouth of Moses, inspired by God himself.
Let's open our Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy. Here's an interesting little fact I was just reminded of. In the New Testament, in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, as Jesus, you know, went around and teaching and doing miracles and everything else, guess which book, more than any other book of the Old Testament, he quoted from? The book of Deuteronomy. More than any other book in the Old Testament, over and over and over again, Jesus quoted from the book of Deuteronomy. And we're going to be in that book for the next several weeks, beginning in verse 1. We read chapter 1, verse 1. We read, these are the words which Moses spoke to all Israel on this side of the Jordan in the wilderness in the plain opposite Suf, between Paran, Tophel, Laban, Hazeroth, and Dizabah. So all those, you know, interesting places. You probably say, what is all of this about? But it's a real place. It lets us know it's a literal geographic place. And they're right on the edge of the promised land. They've come all this way. In your minds on the map, it's on the eastern side of the Jordan River. And after leaving Egypt and going all in the circles of the wilderness, they've come right to the edge of entering into the promised land. And they just have to cross the Jordan River. And when they get onto the other side, they are entering into the land that God had promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so here's what's interesting. It's been a 40-year journey. The book of Deuteronomy is the last month of their 40-year journey. The whole book, and it's not a small book. It's quite a significant and, as I just mentioned, important book. Jesus quoted from Deuteronomy more than anything else. But the whole book took place in 1 month. So the book of Exodus, you know, from being slaves in Egypt and then the Passover night and the miracles and the deliverance and crossing the Red Sea, all and the 10 plagues, the book of Exodus happened in 1 year. That was the first year. That's the book of Exodus. The book of Numbers is another 39 years. So all that happened to them in the wilderness as they wandered around is in the book of Numbers. The book of Deuteronomy is the last month of the 40th year. So as you read through it, you see that they mention places and names and some events that happen. But we don't really, we often read it with confusion, especially because when we look back at what happened in Exodus and Numbers and some of the incredible miracles and stories, Moses doesn't mention any of them. He actually tells us what seem like some kind of strange, obscure little stories. And we're thinking, oh, he's just, you know, Deuteronomy is just recapping everything that happened before. But that's because we are reading knowing the end of the story. We know they're going to cross the Jordan, they're going to go in, and they're going to establish a kingdom, and eventually there will come this man named David, man after God's own heart, and establish the kingdom, pass it on to Solomon, and it all happens. So we kind of know the end of the story. But we forget that basically the book of Deuteronomy is, okay, they're on the edge of the promised land. Moses is standing here. He gathers all 2.1 million of the people and he gives them a motivational speech. He gives them, the whole book of Deuteronomy is one of the most powerful, anointed, motivational speeches to a group of people in all of human history. And he is encouraging them because, number one, Moses is not going with them. You remember we've already talked about, he did what God said, don't do that. He came to the rock. God told him, speak to the rock, and he smote it, and he was angry, and he blew the whole type of Moses was supposed to be of the Messiah, Jesus. Just speak to the rock, and it will. And he didn't. So God said, you can't go in. So Moses has these 2 million people. He goes, and Aaron, the high priest, has just died. If you've been with us before, you know, wow, the high priest died, so our spiritual leader is gone. And now Moses is going to die within a month. He's going to be gone within, this is the last speech, the last month, the last 30 days. And these, the 2.1 million, are not the parents who were in the wilderness wandering for 40 years. It's the next generation. It's the children. So they've all grown up. They've seen the miracles. They also saw their parents not trust God and kind of pay the price for that. And now they're going in where their parents were afraid to go and where Aaron isn't going with them and Moses won't go with them. And so Moses is giving them, this is this tremendous speech of encouragement. It's kind of like, this is Moses William Wallace Braveheart speech. Do you know what I'm saying? I don't know if he had the blue paint or not, but he was into it, exhorting them and encouraging them. This book of Deuteronomy is like, if you ever watch sports or ESPN, and sometimes they'll do a special on a coach. And, yes, coaching is teaching how to block, how to tackle, plays and all of the details. But what separates just having a team from having a winning team, and sometimes not just a winning team, but a dynasty, and they tend to be very, very, just a handful of coaches that not only know how to coach and do the X's and O's and plays and techniques, but who know how to motivate their teams to win again and again and again. And one of the things they'll zero in is, like a Super Bowl, a high-pressure game, and they go all the way through the first half, and things haven't been going very well. And then, the show will take you into the locker room. And all of a sudden, they kind of show, what happened, because it's done after the fact. But you get to go on the shoulders of the coach as he points and talks to the defense and the offense and to his team. And he gives this, where they just are going nuts when they come out. And the second half is like a different team. This is every great halftime locker room speech ever made combined into one that Moses is giving to the children of Israel. And what he is telling them, because if you were one of them, remember, you're the kids. And you've already wandered around, for the last 20 plus years, and now you're going in. And you don't have any leaders. Aaron's gone. Moses is going to be gone. And there's still the giants that are there. You probably would be a little terrified, but Moses gave a powerful, anointed, masterful, spirit-filled speech. So here's what he is saying to these kids, the next generation. He doesn't just talk about God, but he says, your father, I want you to know you have not only God, who's supernatural, powerful, and yeah, he can knock down the other gods, but he has for you the heart of a father. And the heart of the father is saying to you in this last speech before you cross the Jordan River, you can do this. Not only you can do this, Moses prophesies to them and says, you will do it. I'm not just telling, hyping you up to have courage. I am prophetically declaring to you, you will go into the land. You will defeat your enemies. You will conquer them. You will establish a kingdom. You will glorify the Lord. You will build a nation, and it will prepare the way for the very Messiah of heaven. So it's a beautiful, powerful, motivational exhortation. This is what Moses has begun to do. Now, look with me in verses 2 and 3. He says in verse 2, this is fascinating, it is 11 days' journey from Horeb by the way of Mount Seir to Kadesh Barnea. Now it came to pass in the 40th year, in the 11th month, on the first day of the month, that Moses spoke to the children of Israel according to all that the Lord had given him as commandments to them after he had killed Sihon, the king of the Amorites, and dwelt in Heshbon, and then Og, king of Bashan, who dwelt at Ashtaroth in Edrei. You know, here's what Moses is saying. He goes, we started in this place, just after we were delivered from Egypt, the beginning of the wilderness, and to where we are now, which is on the edge of the Jordan River, ready to enter into the promised land, is an 11-day journey. And the next verse says, and on the 40th year, the last month of the 40th year, it was 11 days. That's all. It wasn't even 2 weeks. But what happened? So why did an 11-day journey become a 40-year nightmare where they wandered and went in circles again and again and again? They never made any progress. They never went in because of unbelief. So here's the life lesson for us and for a new generation today. It is this, the detour. When you get off the path that God has for you because of unbelief, lack of faith, lack of trust, fear, anxiety, whatever you want to call it, the detour of unbelief always leads us in, what do you think? Circles. So this is a sad commentary on the failure of unbelief. 11 days stretched into 40 years because of their failure to trust God, believe in God, hear the voice of God, and just simply obey Him and let God take all of the responsibility, a big cost. Okay, let's go on to verse 5. He says in verse 5, now on this side of the Jordan, in the land of Moab, Moses began to explain this law. So here's he's given them the word of God. The Lord our God spoke to us in Horeb, saying, you have dwelt long enough at this mountain. Turn and take your journey. Go to the mountains of the Amorites and all the neighboring places in the plain, in the mountains and the lowland, in the south and on the sea coast, and to the land of the Canaanites and to Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates. See, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give to them and their descendants after them. So here's what Moses is saying. He goes, so, okay, I know you're the next young guns, next generation. I want to give you the same laws, which are really words of God, and more than words of God, the commandments of God are the boundaries. God gives us boundaries on earth. In fact, in creation, God set boundaries. Many of you that are in science know that there are interesting interplays in all kinds of spheres in the natural realm, but there are also boundaries and principles that make things work and make things function. So God has done the same in the spirit. The natural is a window into the supernatural. So God gave these boundaries for them. And Moses is encouraging them to follow the law of God, to listen to the word of God, and to obey the commands of God. And he says, I want you to have a commitment to hear and trust the voice of your father as you step into the waters of the Jordan, because you're gonna literally have a new baptism of thinking. And so that's the next life lesson. Getting baptized into a whole new way of thinking. A whole new way of thinking. Again, here's the promised land, here's the river, here's Moses giving them the encouragement. What Moses is saying to them in the book of Deuteronomy is, he is preparing them to not make the same mistakes as their parents. And okay, so the parents didn't believe God, didn't trust God. Why? Let's get practical. Why didn't they believe God? Why didn't they trust God? Because they had wrong thinking. And the wrong thinking they had is, they had a slave mentality that went back to Egypt. Now, God delivered them out of Egypt in one night, Passover night, powerful, miraculous. It was easy. They got out of Egypt in one day. But to get Egypt out of their minds took a generation. Does that make sense? They still thought like, my head's down, don't look another person in the eyes, fearful, anxious. God has come, delivered them. They were in prison. It's like he came and smashed the lock and broke it and flung the door off their prison and said, now come out and follow me. But they felt more comfortable, even though there's no door and it's been blown off its hinges, but they were comfortable in an old way of thinking. Now, there's a parallel to many Christians who come to the Lord, who get born again, and they are saved, but their minds have not really been changed. They still have stinking thinking. Their mind is still in the anxieties and the fears and the way of reacting that they had when they were in the grip of the world, and they have not yet been liberated. So Moses is wanting to give them a whole new way of thinking. And there are two words I want you to write down in your notes that help give us that. Number one, write down the word identity. You have to know, and that's what Moses is doing in the book of Deuteronomy. He's telling these new young kids, this is who you really are. Your parents never, they were this too. They had this identity, they just never wore it. They never walked in it. But you're going to. And I'm going to encourage you and even prophesy to you that you will. You need to know your identity. You are no longer 400 years of slave, but you are now the sons and daughters of the living God. You have the God above all gods who knocks down the other gods, who goes with you with signs and wonders, who opens the rock and brings water out of it, who rains bread from heaven, who takes care of you and carries you through and leads and guides you. And you are his sons and daughters. And in that he is above all, and he uses his power to love you and to bless you in all of his ways. So you need to know, as a Christian, you need to know who you are. The enemy doesn't even have to work that hard if he knows you have an old way of thinking. He can manipulate you, even though you're free, he can manipulate you. And the last thing the devil wants is for you to find out who you are. Because, and here's the second word I want you to write down, because once you learn from the Word of God what your true identity is, the second word is authority. Authority. Power. Once you know who you are and what's real and the way it really is, it's automatic. All of a sudden, you have power wherever you go as a son and daughter of God. And literally, wherever you, just like Jesus, because Jesus, by his Spirit, now dwells and resides within you. Once you know your identity in Christ and you begin walking and stepping into your authority and then your power, wherever you go, you become a living, moving, mobile carrier of the Holy Spirit of God. And it affects the spiritual realm in this world. You go, and all of a sudden, all of the people who are in the world and who have lots of buddies, demonic strongholds and all of that, the demons see and know you. Now, the people, they just think, same old guy, that's same old Ray. Oh, but the demons go, why is he glowing like that? Uh-oh, he knows who he is. We're had. We're done. And all of a sudden, they start scampering. And the beautiful thing is, you just are walking in Jesus, enjoying who I am in Christ, growing deeper. Wow, I didn't know that. Wow. And you just start relaxing because it's not in your strength and power. It's in knowing who you are that a new freedom comes, a new joy comes. You start laughing and enjoying life. And wherever you go, it breaks up the darkness all around you. That's powerful. That's beautiful. So what Moses is doing is he is telling them, guys, this is who you are. That's why when you go into the land, it's going to be incredible and it's going to be amazing. And as they go through the waters, you know, they're in Jordan, they go through the waters of Jordan. It was like an Old Testament baptism, and they walked into the new land, and they walked with power and authority. You'll see it when they land in Jericho. All they have to do is start blowing trumpets and praising God. And supernaturally, walls just start breaking and crumbling down. Do you realize that God is wanting to do that same thing today? We just, if the church comes into the unity of our identity and who we are, and we begin shouting and rejoicing and praising the Lord, we're going to see the things in this world just start breaking and shaking and crumbling up. Hallelujah. And now, I know that I'm not alone in this, but now here's what I want to connect a dot here. So here's Moses. They go through kind of baptism, and then they go into the promised land, and they inherit it. The same geographic spot that Moses gave the speech of the book of Deuteronomy to the new generation of 2 million young Jewish men and women is the same geographic spot that John the Baptist came and started preaching about Jesus, about the Messiah, that there's coming a shakeup in the whole region and in the whole land. And he said, I'm telling you, there is coming now, and he's walking among you, and you don't know who he is, but the world will never be the same. He is shaking this earthly kingdom to its cores. He's turning things inside out, upside down. And what did John do after he preached? You guys need a new mentality. He then said, now come with me to the waters of Jordan and get baptized. He baptized them in the Jordan saying, you need a new way of thinking because it's not religion anymore. It's not about tradition anymore. It's not outward ritual anymore. This is just as God prophesied, a new covenant that goes to the heart. And it's going to transform you with power from the kingdom of heaven from the inside out. So you get baptized and get ready for it. And there, the next thing you know, Jesus starts, every time he starts speaking, boom, heaven comes out of his mouth. And if he speaks and there's disease, the disease melts. It goes away. If there's a demon, it screams and throws a panic fit and leaves. If it's a storm, he rebukes it, it obeys. And even if they're dead, he commands the dead to rise. There's never been anybody like Jesus.
Pastor Ray Bentley, with some great insights from our opening study based in the book of Deuteronomy here on Maranatha Radio. And there's much more to come. But if you'd like a permanent copy of today's full message, contact us and mention the title, Footprints in the Sand. It's available on CD for just $7. And again, the title, Footprints in the Sand. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in Deuteronomy on a single CD. MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at maranatharadio.com or address a letter to Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. And we're excited to make available Pastor Ray's latest book, The Holy Land Key. Pastor Ray, how does this resource help us make sense of our world? You know, our culture seems to be spinning out of control. We see examples all around us in the news every day. How will your book help us seek God in the midst of the foggy chaos?
Oh, that's a great question. And one of the things that I learned about prophecy is that it's not only predicting the future. God knows everything. God tells us what's coming. We have signs that we can be looking for, and I think we see many of those signs happening in the world right now. But the other layer is that God reveals patterns. There are things that have already happened in history, as it was in the days of Noah. So shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. There are patterns that are happening right now on the earth that really, for a believer, point us to look up, for Jesus is coming soon.
All right. Well, we hope you'll dig into these important insights yourself by way of Pastor Ray's book, The Holy Land Key. With all that's going on in the world, you can't afford to be unaware of what God has told us about the times in which we live. We'll be glad to send you The Holy Land Key. It's available to Maranatha Radio listeners for just $10. So write us at Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Or order it online at maranatharadio.com. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Deuteronomy. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Thank you. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.